2.
XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Hot Springs, Arkansas, Oaklawn Park. A very good Wednesday, race fans. Good morning. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com, tack shift after the terrific time in New Orleans, the week that was really enjoyable. There's no unenjoyable weeks in New Orleans. Made the drive and a different trip to Hot Springs yesterday. And I as you heard, I was a little bittersweet that I didn't see, you know, the full effect. It led right up to Mardi Gras yesterday. And I did see some of the video. I was listening, actually, you know, right here on Sirius XM. You know, the FanDuel feed comes on now again, and I'm not even positive when it started, because there's not that many occasions when I'm immediately in the car. But it was funny. I was driving and I'm hearing a race call on the radio, and I thought it was coming through my phone, so I'm looking at my phone, looked at my, you know, at my feed and the windows, and they weren't open. I was looking to my phone for it, and it took me a long time to figure out that it was coming through the radio. And so, you know, over the years, there's been, you know, the HRTV feed for a period, then the TVG feed that, you know, brings you, you know, basically a simulcast. And so I was able to listen to Parks, to Jess, and to the action from Fairgrounds, and Mahoning. Those were the three afternoon feeds that were coming through. And ended up being very formful. Chris Block wins the Mardi Gras, but I was also watching the social media, you know, the different pictures that were coming out of not just New Orleans but of Fairgrounds, and of course the highlight being Tom and Colleen Amos. And they once again had a very clever get-up. Giselle and Tom Brady was this year's. It's always ripped from today's headlines, it seems. Tom, they a lot of thought goes into it. So we didn't get a chance to talk to Tom yesterday. But obviously a busy morning after training, and then they went for some early, some early Mardi Gras activity, such as I drove past. I mean, that amazing. And thanks to Al Stahl for his edifying info on what specifically on Basin Street with the strutting and with the costume parading, and a little different than the crew parades. Just an amazing, really an amazing event. And now Lent sets in. The people waking up this morning to that reality, right? But a terrific Mardi Gras season, and for the first time, at least able to lead up right into Fat Tuesday. The drive, and well, obviously we'll start talking what's going on here at Oaklawn. Dark today and tomorrow, but plenty of activity out there on the racetrack. Looks fabulous, and the town looks fabulous from what I saw. I got in about 8:30 last night, and because I can't resist and have to, certain things just draw me off the highway, and I didn't have as much time yesterday as I did last year, where I kind of angled into Mississippi, and of course I stumbled into the crash site of the tragic Lynyrd Skynyrd plane crash. I kind of wandered into that, didn't even know that was going to happen, but my intention was to visit Natchez, and that was so happy that I did that. Well, then yesterday I hadn't sat down with a map, and I hadn't necessarily, I didn't even realize what way, Waze was going to suggest. So I ended up in Louisiana for the long, I mean, I basically went the whole boot. I mean, past Baton Rouge and angling up towards Shreveport. So you're saying to yourself, if you know the route, and plenty of you do, you know, where would I sojourn? I saw the sign coming up for Natchitoches, and I knew all I knew about it was that it was an old town, and that it had some notoriety. I'm not even sure why I knew that there was that there was notoriety. And when I put in, the town, it was only literally 2 miles off of the 49. So I go into this town and was dumbstruck. It is so spectacular, so charming and gorgeous. The Cane River, which passes right through it, so it's got a riverfront feel, almost somewhat savanna-esque. It's an older, shockingly, it's older than New Orleans. And it's described widely as sort of a New Orleans in miniature, with a French Quarter-esque style, with a lot of wrought iron and the buildings that New Orleans is so famous for. But then came the revelation, because I am somebody that is crazy about cemeteries, and as I was coming into the town, of course, there's Northwestern Louisiana University? Northwestern. I'm not sure. I wasn't entirely positive. I couldn't really tell if it was part of the Louisiana state. That, I'm not sure. That didn't seem like it would be, right? It's close enough to Baton Rouge. But there's a very pretty campus. So then I go into the village, and as I'm going into the little town, I see this American cemetery, and it says oldest cemetery in the Louisiana Purchase. So all right, I thought, all right, I'm going to go into the town, and then I'll come back. And I'll stop there. So I'm walking the streets, taking pictures. I put up some video, and it came across that General Mercantile store, which was unbelievable. And a Jewish family that apparently had been there since like the 1860s or something, 100 and whatever years, generations. And it's funny because it's a store, and I bought some things for the grandkids. It's a store that completely reminded me of a store we had in Manchester, Connecticut called Marlowe's. Marlowe's for everything. And it was very, very similar to Marlowe's, for those of you. But it's called Kathy Frederick General Merchandise. And very cool. So there was that, and then walked up and down the streets and took pictures and video. So now I'm going to stop on the way back, poke into this cemetery, because I find, you know, I love historic cemeteries, and I see the notation, and you look it up, and there's find a grave, which has got all kinds of, you know, tells you, you know, what famous people might be buried in that cemetery. Well, there are some famous people, but the most famous person is a fictitious person. Shelby, the Julia Roberts character from Steel Magnolias, and all of Steel Magnolias, and several of you listening have certainly been in the same position as I, when your wife or girlfriend has watched it, because they can't help themselves. It's sort of like The Godfather for, you know, for women. I hope that doesn't come off sexist. It is the ultimate chick flick. Let's be fair. And it's quite good, but it's also, you know, it's laughter through the tears is the famous tagline. I mean, that I knew immediately. But the author of the book, and the book was a bestseller too before the movie, is from there. And as a result, all the action and including the funeral for Shelby, you know, who tragically dies, it is that American cemetery. That's where the funeral was, the setting was. So I had to put out a thing yesterday for the Steel Magnolias fan among us. And I was informed by Eric Hamelbeck, who grew up just north of there. I passed the Frierson, Eric, between there and Shreveport. And Eric informed me that it's known as City of Lights. They light the whole town up for Christmas, and they say it's just unbelievable. So I cannot recommend Natchez, first of all, or Natchitoches. This is a little bit more involved than Natchez. There's more in Natchitoches than Natchez. Both though, well worth the stop. So that was yesterday's experience. So I had to devote a few minutes to that. I'm so glad that I did it. I'm always, there's no reason to rush. You know, I wasn't going to get here before, you know, nighttime anyway, probably 7 o'clock. So what's an hour and a half getting here at, you know, at 8:30 instead of 7. So always, if you see something along the roadside and you say to yourself, should we stop? The answer is always yes. All right. You know, unless it's something creepy. But even, you know, even like, you know, the world's largest ball of string. Always stop. That's my, that, and thank you, Eric. A couple of things. Eric says, not part of the state university program, Northwestern Louisiana. Isn't the State University program. I think Huey Long, right? One of the good things. And the pronunciation is Frierson. Frierson. But it could have been Frierson as well. It was a great trip. And then I actually stopped in Hope. You know, Hot Springs is thought of as the official boyhood home of Bill Clinton. But he was born in Hope, Arkansas. And I stopped in Hope because I was getting hungry. I was about an hour, probably an hour and change away yet. And I said, all right, I gotta eat something. I found a burger, a little burger joint. I'll put that up too. A little burger joint called Tailgaters. And it was terrific. And that looked like I'd never stopped at Hope before. That looked like a sweet little town. So, all kinds of revelations. The revelations here over the next couple of days. Tomorrow, Clinton Stewart is going to join us and talk about the Arkansas breeding program, which is obviously a beneficiary of what's going on at this venue, and you know, with the purses, the way they have burgeoned. And so Clinton's going to, I think, bring a farm owner, and there's some new stallions coming that are already here in Arkansas. So we'll get a little info on that tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that, and we'll catch up. I'm actually upstairs today. I'll be back. Get back to that little broadcast station there next to the paddock. There's been some really nice facelift work done around here too. I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk to Jason at some point and you know, get an update. But and who knows, maybe Mr. Sella as well. They took that big open area in the main hall and they put in all kinds of nice booths and tables and bar top type, you know, tall bar top tables and like a sports, almost like a sports bar, sports betting, obviously, as well, available in Arkansas. So there's been some nice, since last year, there's been some nice additions. And I'll tell you what, up in the press box, they completely redid the press box. Carpeting and all refashioned, and it looks terrific, brighter and more open. So up here today, but down tomorrow and Friday. And I know that certainly Friday will be fun when patrons are thronging the building. They're thronging the building in Hong Kong as always. Dick Powell, good morning.
Steve, is this Charles Corral or Steve Bates?
It is a little on the roadish, and you know, it's part Kerouac, well, it's not so much Kerouac. 15, 20 years ago, it would have been more Kerouac-esque, but no, it's one of the real pleasures for me is exploring and you know, seeing places that. You know, I was only mildly aware. I you know, deep down, Dick, I think I probably was aware of Natchitoches because of Steel Magnolias, but it was in the recesses.
Yes.
I'm sure I will hear about this from somebody that invoking the chick flick moniker on.
I didn't say that.
No, it was. It's always worth. Well, you travel. I mean, you and the wife go up and down the Eastern Seaboard and elsewhere.
Not that much.
Not so much anymore? No?
No, in fact, I have never driven to Florida, unlike many New Yorkers. The farthest I've ever driven was Kentucky, and that was always with Dave Harmon or Jim Corns, or, you know, never by myself. So now, once I get on that road, I want to make time. I'm like, oh, I could get there by 8 o'clock. It's... It's straight through.
Huh. All right. Well, I.
But I'm fascinated by the things that you come up with and discover and enjoy and everything else. That's fantastic.
I appreciate it. I always, whenever I bring these things up, some of the local, you know, people locally, and it always seems like it's a surprise. I mean, even if they've been listening, you know. So,
do you have the Hong Kong race on?
I'm putting it on right now.
They all pulled up.
Ugh.
The red light was on, and I don't know what happened, and all the horses down the backside start pulling up. It looked like that Saratoga race. And I obviously don't have the audio on, but it's like, what?
Well, what we've got it.
On?
No, it's here, and let's see what they're saying. Well, it looks apparently, well, Teton's getting a ride back, whether he hit the turf or what, or if they just pulled the horse up and huh.
Well, it was a two-turn race, so that's always an issue, but he's walking in the ambulance, so all right.
Well, so this will obviously be a no contest, and sets us up for the nightcap, the O'Brien, which will all right. So apparently a faller, Dick, and they said the horse is up and walking. So whatever, and it's got to be. I assume it's Teton's horse, Sight Spirit, the John Size trainee.
Right. Yeah, that was why I'm talking to you, and I look up, and I'm like, why is, well, horses are pulling up, going to the outer rail. What's wrong with this picture?
Well, it must have been mid-pack. All right, well, it sounds like a problem was averted, a worse problem. So that's good, and we'll talk in a little bit about the nightcap then, and see if we can't enjoy something in this 12 horse field. Why don't we, Dick? First, let's get the recap in from the weekend, and whatever else to add into today's. You did have a big price winner early, I know, a couple of big price winners.
Yep. Sunday was interesting. David Hall won four races. Just a spectacular day of shot 10 for him. He's the one I always refer to as Melbourne Cup winning trainer, David Hall, because he was the first trainer of Maccabi Diva when she won her first of three Melbourne Cups. And he's been in Hong Kong ever since. And he had five for the week. He had four on Sunday. Hugh Bowman had five for the week. He had the last three races on Sunday. They all paid big money. Races paid $1,320. So if you're a Hugh Bowman fan.
How about that?
Sunday was your day. Now, unfortunately, Hugh is out today. He called in sick. So he's off all his mounts. And in race nine, Adios, number two, will be ridden by Matthew Poon. So that was Sunday's issues. The big thing is looking forward to this weekend, where we have the Hong Kong Gold Cup, Group 1, going 2,000 meters, and then the Hong Kong Classic Cup for four-year-olds, the second leg of the four-year-old Classic Series. So the Gold Cup was won last year by Russian Emperor. Russian Emperor, Doug White trainer, decided to avoid the epic matchup this week between Romantic Warrior and Golden 60 So last week, Russian Emperor went to Qatar, and he won the $2.5 million Amir Trophy. So very nice for a Russian Emperor who was two Group 1 wins at Hong Kong last year, now an international Group 1 win for the gilded son of Galileo. You don't get to say that very often. Most Galileos are not gilded.
No.
But he was gilded. And remember, he won one day at Ascot when we were watching. He won that Group 3 while still in Antalya. And then he was purchased. And amazingly, I don't know what his purchase price was, but he has earned millions of dollars since then. So, yes, he has no stud career, but he's making lots of money, not just in Hong Kong, but now overseas. And it'll be interesting to see. I didn't read any stories about where he goes next, but you have the Shima Classic coming up in a month in Dubai, which would seem to be a possibility. And then last year he won the standard Chater Cup, going a mile and a half, so he could come back and defend that as well. So Russian Emperor goes out of town, but the reason he went out of town is we have Romantic Warrior and Golden 60. Golden 60 at the age of 7 bounced back and won the last race going a mile, defeating not just Romantic Warrior, but California Spangle. So any inclinations that maybe at the age of 7 he was starting to show his age, well,
no.
He just pulled out between horses and just pulled away pretty handily. Romantic Warrior, I thought he ran a little bit erratically in the stretch. I thought he lost his balance. So I think the distance suits him better at a mile and a quarter. I'm not saying it hurts Golden 60, but at a mile and a quarter, it's right up Romantic Warrior's alley. So those two will meet this coming Sunday morning, post time, midnight, Eastern time. And then the Hong Kong Gold Cup, the Hong Kong Classic Cup for four-year-olds, right now has 18 entered. So they will whittle that down to 14 based on the ratings. The highest rated horses are the ones who get in. Voyage Bubble, who won the first leg of the Hong Kong four-year-old series, will be back to defend his title. I didn't see if Jamie Carr is coming up from Australia to ride him. She was in town for the Jockey Challenge and all the other things going on then, so I'm not sure if she's going to be back. But Voyage Bubble, who dominated on the front end, doesn't figure to get that kind of trip again, but, you know, why not? Sometimes everyone's so worried about getting the distance that they take back, and the speed horse just keeps going and going and going. So Voyage Bubble tries to win the second leg of the four-year-old season. Sweet Encounter, Tuckle, Sword Point, Galaxy Witness, Super Sunny Sang, among others, will go to post. Now, when handicapping the race, please be aware, the top rated horses, they all carry the same weight, but the top rated horses, there's quite a gap between number one, who's 113, and maybe down to number 10, who might be 85. So if this were a handicap, you would be getting minimum, you know, 20 pounds. It's not a handicap. It's weight for age. So those type horses have a little bit more difficulty, not only trying to win against higher rated horses. The issue for the four-year-olds is many of them are just developing. So we saw it last year with Romantic Warrior. He just won from 52 to 130, like in 12 months' time. So when they start out that first race at 52 rating, and then they win, and maybe they go to 62, and then bing, 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 not about a time to get to this race. They might be in the 80s and 90s, stuff like that. Some of the sprinters might have gotten higher ratings because they've been running faster races and able to compete against a little bit better companies. So it's just something to keep in mind when you're looking at the horses in this race. 14 horses are going to be obviously lots of money spread out. I'm sure the betting handle on that race will just be enormous. So two big races at Sha Tin this Sunday morning, 9 o'clock Pacific time, midnight Eastern time for the first race post.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, and the link we got the link to the info to the form guide is on the website for those that want to utilize. I mean, the information is it's eye crossing. Everything you could want and more. Dick, how about we got about 16 minutes here to this. I see they got some consos that they call them a dividend that they're flashing for the cancellation of the eighth race. So kind of a standalone here in the ninth, and I'm sure there'll be a conso as well, right, from the first leg for anybody that bet the double from the eighth into the ninth, but. For our purposes, Dick, let's just stand it alone.
Okay, race nine is a class three, 1,200 meters. The rail is pretty far out tonight, which means that that little run into that elbow is not as severe. When the rail's down in the A position, that's a little bit sharper turn. And when it's farther out, it's a little bit less sharp. Not a big deal, but just one of those inside baseball moments. Nordic Dragon right now is the 9-5 favorite. Draws post 12. So I can't see him winning from out there, as good as he is. Now, he won his first two starts like a champ. He won his first race. And as all first-time starters, they're rated at 52. He was so impressive, he went right to 63. He won next time, so he won his first two starts, won right up to 71. And then last time out, lo and behold, I shot 10. Now, not Happy Valley, I shot 10. He drew post 12, going to 1,400 meters. Now, that's not impossible to win from. In fact, you could argue that it's actually pretty favorable post. And he got run down late. I mean, I needed him in some bit. And I remember, like, they turned for home, and he just comes up empty. Beaten five lengths, not a comment, so bumped hard early. So he had a rough trip. But that was not pretty. Now draws post 12. Now, post 12 at Happy Valley, much tougher than post 12 at Sha Tin. So either Vincent Ho guns him, which will use a lot of early energy. Now, it's possible he could clear this field because it doesn't look like there's a whole lot of speed. There's speed, number one, number two, they're breaking from 9 and 12, so they're right inside of him. So we could have a little ding-dong battle going into that first turn. So, Nordic Dragon, I'm opposed to him. Not going to use him. Another good horse is number four, Tiger Legend. Raced in Australia, won a Group 3, looked good doing it. Now he's making his Hong Kong debut, and he draws the rail. Well, what's wrong with the rail? Well, with 11 horses to your outside, you got to be pretty quick to get out of there, or you're going to get shuffled back and be in traffic. So I don't think the rail is that big an advantage in this situation. He does get Zach Purton. Zach has a couple wins already tonight, as he does every night. Jamie Richards, good hot trainer from New Zealand. The horse is stable, is really starting to click. And I'm against him. So now I'm against two logical, playable horses, which leads me to number three, Beauty Charge. Tony Cruz, Matthew Chadwick. Now, if you go back, Steve, we might have even watched this race. Two starts back, he gets run down by Gold Gold Baby. And Gold Gold Baby was in this streak of five wins where every race, he's flying, well, not even flying, doing it effortlessly, running horses down in a stretch. Now, he got beat his last time out. But Go Go Baby ran Beauty Charge down two races back. All right, that was no disgrace there. Then he came back. He took more money. Went off at 4-1 last time out. Didn't break particularly well. And that was back at Sha Tin. They went 108-4. He was right up there early, weak and late. I think back at Happy Valley, I think he has a big chance. I'm not crazy about the 132 pounds giving weight to some good solid horses, but I think Beauty Charge from post six makes a lot of sense. The other one that makes a lot of sense, and the bettors seem to be agreeing, because right now he's third choice, is number five, Mark the Moment. Karis Teton rides for Pierre Ng, who's having a terrific first season training in Hong Kong. Mark the Moment has been in against good ones, including Dragon's Luck last time out, missed ahead at Sha Tin, two starts back where he battled for the lead every step of the way from post 13. He just looks like he's sneaking up on a good race, draws post five, does have good speed. I think those outside horses will probably clear him because they have to. They have no choice but to go. And we could sit fourth or fifth, saving ground, get the nice run of the race. And after they use their energy, maybe we could pull out and use our energy. So Beauty Charge, number three, and number five, Mark the Moment. I'm gonna play Beauty Charge to win because he's the higher price in the odds. And I'll just play an exacta box with the five. So 3-1 and 3-5 exacta box in race nine. If you want to throw in these other horses, second and third, you know, the Tiger Legend, number four, and six, Nordic Dragon, go right ahead. But I'm looking more top of the ticket than exotics and things like that.
All right. Beauty Charge, the three, leads from the six. Mark the Moment, the five, leads from the five. Respectively, 6-1 and 9-2. And we've got about 10 minutes. All right, so let's rip from today's headlines. What can, here, let me reach into my, let's reach into my news bag. those that have already looked ahead to Saturday here at Oaklawn, Reincarnate making the move to the Yakteen barn, and there was some other various reports. I mentioned yesterday Dave Grenig with the Gotham nominations, but then also yesterday word came that Gilmore, who was second in the El Camino Real, is going to Brendan Walsh, and he's going to look toward the Jeff Ruby, coming off of the race at the Tapita on the Tapita at Golden Gate. So there's another name, and I guess the rest of them, the ones that have not been discussed yet. We've got what? Today's the 22nd, so you got until the end of the month for these horses to get distributed around. Arabian Lion, Carmel Road, Hijazi, also to Yakteen. Fort Warren, that horse that's going to Brittany Russell. And I guess Tom Ryan yesterday said that National Treasure and Fort Bragg are TBD in terms of where they're going to go. So this in view of the judge's ruling last week that maintains the CDI ban, the 2-year suspension for Baffert to participate. With that decision coming down, these horses, if they're going to make points and get into the Derby, they're going to have to do it out of other Shed Rose. So that that was part of yesterday's story.
Yep. Well, it's I have a different take on it, but I if I'm these owners, I just say, all right, we're going to try to win every $1 million prep race from now until the first Saturday in May, and then we'll see everyone on the third Saturday in May.
Interesting. You'd bypass.
I'm not bypassing anyone. They don't want me. Then I'm not going.
Interesting.
But if I'm not telling these owners what to do. But if I'm these owners, I'm not changing trainers. You know. I just have a different take on it. The Derby as a stallion making race is not what people think it is. It's $3 million, I think. That's nice, big purse, but it's there's lots of other races, and just you can't change history. The amount of time and court and litigation and everything else has just been enormous, and it's like, all right, they don't want you, okay? They don't want me. All right, well, we got other races to go to.
Yeah, that's an interesting response. I think the lure and the allure are just so great that. It's even beyond the stallion portion. I don't even think it's more a prestige and a holy grail type item.
Yes, but most of these owners have, some of them have been there, done that. Certainly, Bob has been there, done that, and also there's a downside to 23-year-olds going hell-bent for leather, going into the first turn, and some of them come out of it, you know, negatively. So it's like you got suspended, okay? take your suspension and
see it through, and then we'll see you
in other races.
And see you in 24. Yeah.
It's almost like the live golf. And these players that are still on the PGA Tour, like Rory, guess what? Greg Norman was right. The PGA was screwing you. You weren't getting the media rights money you should have been getting. So now, lo and behold, many of these purses have doubled on the PGA Tour. They've set up 15 events during the year, which, like last week, which you're almost obligated to play in, and they played for $20 million last week. So now, if you're one of these big-time Rory McIlroy types, you're playing for twice the money, and maybe 20 of the top 100 golfers aren't even in the field because they're on the LIV Tour and they're not allowed. Now, the majors hopefully stay the same. But it's like you've doubled your money and you have less competition. So I don't know. Just what's there to complain about?
No.
And I think for Rory, who seems to be easily distracted, I would be shocked if Rory ever wins another major again. Ultra talented. Off the tee, he is just as good as any golfer has ever lived. But he has too much stuff in his head. I mean, when he switched to Nike golf equipment, I think he's had one major win since then. And Rory looked like he was going to, you know, push all the records when he was young. And he got involved in this and still arguing about it and this and that. And just say, oh, all right, okay, they don't, you know. They did what they did. You do what you do. Put your head down, hit the ball. Which, by the way, I was never very good at.
You know, it's funny. It's funny you go into this direction. I was somewhere. I had lunch at somewhere in. Where was I the other day in New Orleans? And up on the TV, they had a senior, clearly a senior event. And it was like time stood still. There was Fred Couples and Bernard Langer, and I forget who else.
What's his name? Padre Harrington?
It was so strange because, you know, they all look the same. They're just a little older, a little pottier. And Fred Couples at one point chipped in from off the green. I was like, what is going on here? It's like a turn back the clock scenario. And
Langer is in his 60s.
Well, he, you know, it's funny from afar. With the way the camera was, he looked the exact same. And then later at some point, there was a commercial with him, and there was like a close up, and you could see how, you know, that he was old, you know, my age. But he actually looked old. But from afar, with the hat on, he looked the exact same, like he did, yeah, you know, 25 years ago. It was very funny. I really have not watched any golf in ages, but I was eating at a bar somewhere, and I can't remember where I was, but it was right in front of me, so I you know, it caught my attention.
So you were in New Orleans and you couldn't remember where you were.
I might have been at Acme. I might have been at Acme Oyster House. That's a possibility. I'm trying to, because it had to be during the Friday, you know, whatever, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, when they were, well, it wouldn't have been Saturday because I was at the track, and Saturday night I had dinner at Yale College Inn, which I just love, and you know, it's totally a local place. It's not, you know, it's not on the in the guidebooks, and it's not you know, on a list of must goes, but it Tina and I happened into it accidentally, because somebody took us to the Rockin' Bowl, and it's the same. It's the same owner, and it was actually Valentine's Day like 6 years ago, and so we had Valentine's dinner at the College Inn, and I've gone back every year since. It's terrific.
Well, I'll be down in a couple of weeks.
That's a good idea. That's what, you know what? I will put a group together, and I mean, we're staying in the Mont de Leon, so we're right in the quarter, and there's, you know, there's no shortage, but that'll be worth a quick zip to Mid City. I'm a big fan of Mid City, New Orleans. I did set a personal best at Angelo Brocato, 3 Brocato visits, and as Nick Tamaro wrote me yesterday as I was driving, those Spumoni never had a chance. I wrote, somebody asked me, what happened to your ice cream place? And I said, the Spumoni got whacked like Big Pussy in Sopranos. and there was nothing we could do about it.
You know what's great about that scene? There's nothing like we could do about it. He's in a phone booth.
Yes.
Now, that should be just, like, posterized. Hey, this is what a phone booth was.
Exactly. Well, and then he knocks the phone booth over, which I don't know how practical that was. And I don't know if De Niro did that on his own, or if that was in the script.
Now, you were talking about food, and I watched this thing, and how many times have you seen Goodfellas? Well, the scene where they stop in to get the knife, and the mom is there, so she makes dinner or whatever, middle of the night, they're all sitting around, and I never noticed it, but as he's eating dinner, De Niro, Jimmy, is eating Italian food, and he takes a bottle of ketchup, and he's twisting it with his hands to get the ketchup out. He's putting ketchup on the food.
Next time we'll watch. But my favorite of that, you know, the mother, you know, Tommy's mother is actually De Niro's mother, and
yes.
And you know, his parents show up in a lot of his movies. But when she reaches down, they're at the table. She reaches down and she pulls out the painting. And have I ever shown you my painting? And she, it's like the painting is leaning against the kitchen table. It's like, wait a minute. Looks like somebody we know. No.
and that was apparently all ad-libbed. All they told her was to pull the painting out sometime during the meal.
Oh, that is funny. I did not know that.
Yes. I was watching some analysis or whatever it was, and I don't know who it was. It was a woman, and she was talking about, but I never saw. And then when he finishes, you actually see the table with all his Italian food and a bottle of ketchup.
Well, that is funny. I've never known. All right. Now we're going to have to watch for it.
Yes. That's what I was like, phew.
That's pretty funny. We got a no light yet, but it's post time at Hong Kong for this O'Brien handicap. Beauty Charge Dick has come down to 9-2 from 6-1, and Mark the Moment has maintained the 9-2. So they're both 9-2. And actually, speaking of golf, Tiger Legend is 9-2.
Who played remarkably well last week.
That's what I heard. I saw a headline or two.
I saw him on the first tee. He was limping on the first tee. I'm like, oh, forget this. Come on. He made the cut and shot 67 Saturday. And boy, that was a surprise to me.
Yeah. Don't let me go down that road. I'm not from day one. Mark, Nordic Dragon continues to be favored, and now down to 9-5 here as they begin to angle the horses into the gate.
Well, we'll know right at the start. We'll know if he can bust out of there and get over. He's good enough, but that's an awful lot to ask.
Let's get some audio up for you. There we go.
Does like to go forward. So the 4 and the 5 and the 6, I think, will sort of be up towards the front.
Adios is big money here, Nick. 20 and 4.6. He admittedly has a 4.25 length defeat 2 starts ago, but he raced wide that night.
He did, and look, he's been favourite in his last 4, so it's a stark contrast to what we have been seeing with him. I mean, when he did win, he was off a 6-pound lower mark. Obviously, Matthew Poons picked up the riders, so he's claiming a couple of pounds off him. That's going to help.
They're a little late getting this off day.
Matthew has ridden the horse in the past to success.
Well, with the incident in the last race, that might have affected them.
Good thing.
Might have pushed things back. I don't know.
All right, still. Now, actually.
The light is on, but they're still kind of dawdling.
Yeah, exactly. 9-2 on the 3 Beauty Charge. If you're still punching tickets, Dick with the 3 as the focus, but then 3-5 each way. And then if you want to feather in the 4 and the 6, they're top 4 prices, Dick, that turned out. Not that it didn't start that way. It looked like Beauty Charge was going to be a little bit of a better price than it turned out, but we can't control that. Did you know what we should when we come back, seeing the name of Sylvester D'Souza on Red Desert, the 7th big price, made me think about yesterday's conversation with Will Humphrey. I don't know if you heard it. Here we go, just about set, the nightcap from the valley where it's happy,
ready to press the button.
He does. They're off, and he missed it a little bit off the inside, Tiger Legend. Good pace from Compassion Spirit. Mark the moment. Adios, Golden Link. Tiger Legend's recovered to be about fourth or fifth over on the inside. The runner came next. Now Nordic Dragon, he's five deep into the first turn. Starbright's four deep. Stormtrooper outside of Sugar Sugar and also Beauty Charge. And back last of all, Red Desert. Only seven from top end to tail. Adios has had to do a little bit to find the front here at the 700 metres, but now crosses over Compassion Spirit running second. Up on the outside is Nordic Dragon. He's three deep facing the breeze around Mark the moment. Two and a half to Tiger Legend. Golden Link, the runner. Starbright's very wide. Sugar Sugar from Beauty Charge, Stormtrooper and Red Desert, the last of them as they swing at the 350 metres. Adios leads the way by a length and a half. Compassion Spirit, Mark the moment. Nordic Dragon, Tiger Legend over on the inside. Golden Link, the runner out wider. Beauty Charge getting through and gave a little bit of a tickle up there to Sugar Sugar. Look at them across the track. Beauty Charge, Sugar Sugar, Stormtrooper. It's Beauty Charge to search through for Chadwick. He wins over Sugar Sugar, Stormtrooper, and Compassion Spirit. Golden Link, and then came the runner. That race changed complexion late. Next in was Mark the Moment, and then came Red Desert, Adios, Nordic Dragon.
Well, there it is, Dick. Well done. There's a winner.
Very nice.
Good
very
job. Nice ride, too. What a... Matthew Chadwick really waited, and he picked the perfect time to engage off the turn.
Yeah, you could see Vincent Ho got the six out, kept looking over, five wide when they come out of that elbow, then he's like three wide, never really committed to either go or he was looking to drop in, and that was not going to happen. And the two set the pace. I don't think it was too fast a pace. And Matthew just sat and waited, and from post six, right in the middle, found a split. Same colors as Beauty Generation. Those are very popular silks you see in a lot of winners from that stable in Hong Kong. And very nice result there, Stevie.
Well done. 9-2 for the straight win bet. And then the 11, 12, and 9, which are all boxcars, and with the favorite nowhere to be found, Nordic Dragon. But Sugar Sugar 10-1, Stormtrooper 26-1, and then Compassion Spirit 60-1. So nice, big balloons, as Harvey would say. Dick, did you hear Will Humphrey yesterday, the rider with that wonderful story, bittersweet story, too, from Laurel on Saturday?
No. Well, sorry.
No, it's all right. The British and English kid that has come to the U.S., and he actually he's friendly with quite a few of the international riders, including D'Souza, and... he made the choice to come here, and it feels like there's more and more. Richard King's Coat come for just a cameo at Gulfstream, but you've got more and more. They're realizing that the prize money, as they say, as they call it, is too good to not try to come and make their way in the U.S.
Well, I think the ones that come and get some business, that unfortunately many don't get any business because the trainers know they're not going to stay. But I think it's great experience racing on the pace. Getting out of the gate better, just doing the things that we do just naturally. I think for many, especially the British riders, they're not known, not only the riders, but the trainers are known to having horses busting out of there. And now they come over here, and I think it's a good experience because you learn to get out and then gather your horse up. You don't have to get out and open up 10. You just got to get out, get going, and then find a spot and gather your horse up. And I think it's a great experience for the ones that do it.
Well, wish him luck. Very well-spoken young kid. So, Dick, any impression before we go? Any impressions of the three-year-old action on Saturday in particular? Angel of Empires win and pretty mischievous. Another Godolphin every weekend somewhere in the world. Just it's unbelievable. It's scary.
Yes, they,
it's scary.
They just, well, it's either Godolphin or Baffin with the three-year-olds. And the Southwest million-dollar purse, and it's not even the final prep. I'm not sure what they're doing this Saturday, Steve, but I was there one Saturday when they were giving away a pickup truck and a bass boat. And they had 36,000 people come out for the races. And it's just unbelievable. I just love when you're there seeing that many people show up. You know, it's just fantastic. And then obviously for me with the sports book and everything, simulcast, live racing, hotel.
Yeah.
Get all my bases covered. But the Southwest should be terrific. The fairground races were good. They need, and the issue with 14 horse fields is you really gotta study them, and not just say, oh, this horse won or this horse got beat, but you know, just do some deep dives and trips and everything.
Well, it does feel like the whole complexion of, you know, this is one of the reasons why the Derby rankings and lists. I mean, it's nice to have them just to have a compendium of contenders, but it just feels like this thing has got so much morphing yet to do. And clearly from a speed standpoint, we'll see on Saturday. I mean, this Rebel field, you actually have got a higher baseline of top figs, you know, for this group than you had for the Risen Star group. Verifying 97 buyer and
I like him a lot.
Yeah, and Giant Mischief 91, 95 buyers even in defeat in that springboard. 95 for Reincarnate, high 80s for Gun Pilot. That Red Root 1 is a sneaky Asmussen Winchell that is going to be like fifth choice, and should not be. He's sort of the Angel of Empire of this group, to be honest. He's the one that's a little less heralded. And you know, after that performance by Last Samurai in the Razorback, here's Lucas with the City of Light colt coming off a good allowance behind Gun Pilot. This is a horse that is making a ninth start, most experienced runner in the group in the Rebel. It's a very nice feature, along with the Honeybee and the Carousel, and some very other good, a lot of good sprint action actually on Saturday here at Oaklawn Park. So,
hey, and congrats last week on the Lisa and Ron McQuitt.
Thank you.
That was just excellent because you kind of kept it on track and it was very, very good.
I appreciate it. We're going to do more of those, and I it's not even a question of equal time where I got one rambling angry email that why was I bashing. I'm asking the questions that a horse player, owner, breeder, it's in our minds. I mean, how that's not bashing the concept. It's just explain to us what the benefit is and why. You know, ultimately, we're all going to be handed a bill at the end of the night. I mean, this is like going to Ciro's in 1990. you know, everybody's going to look at each other and say, yeesh, who's picking this up? Who's picking up this tab? Who's I need a sponsor here. Where's Earl Mac? Earl! Right? I got to go to the bathroom here.
I got alligator arms.
The alligator arms, baby.
Anyone want to spin it?
Hey now. Dick, as always, a lot of fun. Thanks for spending...
We had a winner. That's what counts.
It does. Let's see if the numbers are in. If it's not official. Nope, not official yet. At least the North American pool or North American payout. It's official in Hong Kong. Let me just take another look here as we're played off. I'm going to be joined... by Sid. Yeah, here we go. 11-10. 11-10, 370. 11-10, 370.
I'll take it.
Not so bad. Dick Powell, everybody. HKJC.
All right, Steve.
Thanks so much.
Next week.
You got it. Big recap. I'll talk to you next week from Santa Anita. Next
All
Wednesday.
Right.
High atop. Not high atop. Slightly, you know, up some steps anyway. Clocked his corner.